Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 515 through 528.
It's time to play big on Modo Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Modo.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Modo.us today.
Modo is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Modo.us for more details.
It's time!
Modo.us.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
They say the past never truly dies, that the weight of memory, pain, and tragedy can linger long after the people who lived it are gone. But what happens when that past is stored in a single house, one with blood-stained relics, forgotten photographs, and locked rooms that haven't changed in over a century? Today's story takes us to a historic Civil War museum nestled in a worn corner of Philadelphia, a quiet place on the surface filled with dusty books and war-torn mementos. But for one new volunteer, it quickly became something else entirely. It started with a single sound, a crash that shook the old house to its bones, and ended with a string of small, disturbing details no camera could quite explain. He thought he was alone, but something else was there. Something that remembered. And all it took to awaken it was a song. Let's get to the letter. They write, Tony, long-time listener, first-time writer. I never thought I'd be the one sending in a story like this. Not because I haven't had experiences, I have growing up, but they always seemed to fade with time. Like childhood fears or old dreams. After I turned 17, the odd things just stopped. Or maybe I stopped noticing. But last week on March 19th, something happened that pulled me right back into that familiar unease. And this time, I couldn't explain it away. I volunteer at the Ashwood Civil War Museum and Historical Library, a modest place tucked inside a fading three-story home in a forgotten part of the city. The kind of place you'd walk past without a second glance unless you knew its story. Locals call it the Ron House, named after the 18th century doctor who lived and practiced there. It's listed on every historic register that matters, but it hasn't been touched much. The wallpaper is original in some rooms. The floorboards creak in a way that sounds intentional. It was just a regular Tuesday, around 2 in the afternoon. I was there with Alan, a senior volunteer who's been with the museum since the early 90s. We weren't expecting any visitors. I was reading in the library, just flipping through old letters, and Alan was on a laptop replying to emails in the front office. Then the crash came. It wasn't subtle. It wasn't like a book falling or something slipping off a shelf. It was loud, like something had been thrown against a wall or a heavy piece of furniture had collapsed. It came from inside the house, without a doubt. Alan and I both froze. He looked up at me and asked, "Did you hear that?" Like I could have missed it. I jumped up and checked the monitors. We have a few security cams set up in the parking lot and in some of the main rooms. Nothing moved. The lot was empty, our cars untouched. The front door hadn't opened. It was dead silent again, as if nothing had happened. I told Alan I'd take a quick look outside anyway. We're in a rough part of town. Ashwood Avenue used to be thriving, but now it's mostly empty buildings and broken fences. There's a boarded-up house next door, long abandoned, and I wondered if maybe someone had slipped in there and caused the noise. but everything outside was still, too still. I circled back inside and started sweeping the museum room by room. First the reading area, nothing out of place, then the stairwell leading to the second floor where we keep old newspapers and some light storage. I checked the stacks. Every shelf looked the same. I even ran my hand over the wood for signs of disturbance. Nothing. I made sure to turn off all the lights on my way down. I remember that detail clearly. It's a habit. I take energy conservation seriously, and Alan and I joke about how often I shut lights off behind him. I flipped off the light to the newspaper storage at the top of the stairs and came back down. Next, I checked the second floor meeting room. It's where we keep the old upright piano. Someone had inquired recently about removing it, so I figured maybe something there had shifted. But the room was neat, untouched, the piano hadn't moved, no sheet music strewn about, no sign of anything out of place. Satisfied, I used the bathroom nearby. Since it's just me and Alan most days, I left the toilet seat up. I mention this for a reason, because in a house full of shadows and whispers, the small details matter most. After that, things calm down, no more sounds. Alan stayed in the office. I returned to the library and got lost in a memoir from a Union soldier. It was almost easy to forget that crash. Almost. About half an hour later, I got up to use the bathroom again. As I passed through the library, I noticed something strange. The light on the stairway to the newspaper storage was back on. That stopped me cold. I had just turned it off. Not only that, I distinctly remember the sound of the switch clicking as I flipped it down. I stood at the base of the steps, staring up at the glow above me. I tried the bottom switch again. Nothing happened. The light stayed on. I clicked it a few more times, annoyed, thinking maybe the fixture was faulty. Still nothing. So I climbed the stairs again, slowly, this time. The wood groaned with every step. At the top, I hit the switch there. The light went off. I came back down, tested the bottom switch again. Now it worked fine, like it had been reset. At this point, I was feeling uneasy, not scared exactly, but like the building was aware of me, watching, testing. I shook it off, tried to be logical. Maybe it was old wiring. Maybe I'd imagined it. I went to the bathroom. The seat was down. That shook me more than I want to admit. Alan never uses that bathroom when I'm there. He uses the private staff one by the kitchen. I had been the last person in that room, and I know I left it up. It's not something I'd forget. My brain tried to write it off. Maybe Alan had gone in. Maybe I was mistaken, but I wasn't. I returned to the office, trying not to let the weirdness show. Alan asked if I found anything upstairs, and I told him no, just a few loose papers. I didn't mention the light or the seat. Then something on the monitor caught my eye. The third floor camera, which we keep mostly for artifact tracking, showed something unusual. One of the long, pale drapes looked off, crooked, raised, almost like it had been pulled back from the window. The light was on up there, too. Alan and I exchanged a look. Neither of us had been up there. We climbed the stairs together. I took the lead. The air changed as we moved upward, denser, colder. Not the kind of cold you feel from a draft, but something internal. Like the temperature inside you drops. The light in the third floor hallway was burning bright. The curtain that had caught my eye was fully drawn, tied back. There was no breeze in the room. The windows were shut tight. We stood directly beneath the camera and looked around. At first, nothing seemed out of place, but then we saw it. Pictures. 5 or 6 framed photographs had fallen face down on the floor in the next room. All vintage, most of them Civil War portraits. One had slid down and hit the exposed radiator pipe. None of them were broken. Not a single shard of glass. I don't know how to describe it except to say it didn't make sense. The crash we'd heard earlier had sounded violent. Metallic. These pictures couldn't have made that sound, not from this far up, not with this little damage. Alan said maybe that's what we'd heard, but we both knew it wasn't. We picked them up, set them back where they belonged. There was no sign of what caused them to fall. No vibrations, no imbalance, just stillness. We left shortly after that. The day felt done. Like the house had seen enough of us. I tried to act normal, said goodbye to Alan, drove home. But all night, I couldn't shake the feeling that I'd missed something, that there was a thread I hadn't pulled yet. And then it hit me. Earlier that day, before the crash, before the lights, before the photos, I'd been humming. Just a few idle notes, maybe 8 bars. A song I hadn't thought of in years. Dixie. It wasn't intentional. I didn't even realize I'd been humming it until that moment at home, hours later. But the memory came back in perfect clarity, sitting in the library, legs crossed, flipping through an old Union diary and softly humming, Dixie. It's one of those melodies you don't forget, even if you wish you could, that tune, that Confederate tune. In a house filled with Union flags, medals, death masks, and bloodied fabric from Lincoln's deathbed. My stomach turned. The timing made too much sense. The crash, the lights, the curtain, the photos. All after I hummed that song in that building. The next day I couldn't stay away. I needed to know more. I arrived early, before the museum opened. Alan wasn't in yet. I unlocked the staff room and began reviewing the catalog of relics we'd archived in storage, hoping to find something, anything, that might explain what happened. It's easy to forget how much history lives in that building. We're not just talking about uniforms or bayonets. Some of the items we preserve are heavier. We have, sealed in a display case on the first floor, a portion of bedsheets from the room where President Lincoln took his final breaths. Still stained, still preserved. There are shackles from Andersonville Prison, a surgeon's blood-spattered coat, even a pair of horses' heads stuffed and mounted, used during wartime for medical study and later ceremonial display. The kind of things no one talks about after dark. There's an energy around those objects. I always sensed it. But I'd never felt it directed at me before. That morning I stood in front of Lincoln's sheet, hands behind my back, staring at the red blotch where his head must have rested. I couldn't say why. I just felt like I needed to acknowledge it, like an apology or a warning. Later, I searched through our archives and found something else I hadn't expected. A folder of printouts from a ghost hunting group that had visited the museum about a decade ago. A team from South Jersey. They had recorded a full EVP session and left notes. According to their report, they made contact with 3 distinct presences in the building. One was a woman on the 3rd floor, angry, proud, territorial, identified by name as Elizabeth, believed to be the wife of John Rain, the original doctor owner. They said she became aggressive when asked if her husband and son had Confederate ties. Another was a child, possibly a young boy who roamed the 2nd floor halls, playful, curious, and often seen near the piano room. They recorded what sounded like giggling, though I haven't heard that myself yet. The last was darker, a presence in the basement, not angry, not curious. Malevolent. They described it as heavy, like a force that didn't want to speak, only to push. They didn't get a name, only the sense that it was always watching, waiting, that no one should be alone down there. I put the papers away, locked the drawer. I'd been assigned a project now, inventorying the museum's firearms on the 3rd floor. Tomorrow, I'll be alone up there most of the day. It's the same area where the curtain moved, where the photos fell, where Elizabeth, if the stories are true, still walks. I plan to keep the lights on this time, and I'll make sure I stay within view of the cameras, just in case. So I haven't told Alan everything. I'm not sure if I should. But I'll say this, Tony. I haven't hummed a single note since that day. Not even in the car. And if that song was what stirred something in that house, I don't know what kind of apology would ever be enough. I'll check the photographs again tomorrow. Maybe there's something in them we didn't see before. If anything happens, I'll write again. For now, all I can say is, I believe someone, or something, heard me. And they haven't forgotten. Thanks for the time, Ben. Ben's story leaves us standing in that uneasy space between the rational and the unexplainable. A crash with no visible cause, lights that act with intention, objects disturbed in ways that defy physics. And all of it, perhaps, triggered by a single act so small, so innocent, humming a tune. But in a place like the Ashwood Museum, nothing is without weight. This isn't just a house, it's a reliquary of American trauma, artifacts soaked not just in blood, but in sorrow, in division. And when one considers that relics from Lincoln's deathbed, prisoner chains, and battlefield instruments all rest under the same roof, it's not difficult to believe that the emotions tied to them might linger too. From a psychological perspective, there are explanations, selective memory, stress-induced suggestion, even environmental factors. Old buildings often have faulty wiring, bad insulation, and a tendency to creak and settle. In our minds, when searching for patterns, we'll latch onto the smallest inconsistencies and turn them into threats. But there's something deeper here. Ben didn't feel like he was imagining things. He felt watched, reacted to. The timing of events, the crash, the lights, the drapes, the unbroken glass, all seemed to crescendo just after his soft, unconscious humming of Dixie, a song with meaning. A song that may have pierced the silence of that old home like a needle through a wound not yet healed. And if we entertain the idea that spirits, residual or intelligent, still walk the upper floors of that museum, then we must ask, what do they want? Is it respect? Recognition? Or is it simply that history, when confined within four walls, does not stay still? Maybe that house isn't just preserving history. Maybe it's reliving it. And if Ben was the one to remind it, perhaps the house will be watching from now on. Closely. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. And if you're ever in an old building and feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, don't ignore it. Sometimes the past is listening.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Modo.us.
Visit Modo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at Modo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's essential prenatal multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.